Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's 8:50 on the morning edition and time for our first look at the commodity markets for this Monday morning. Here with our pre-opening report, Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Monday morning, everyone. Overnight soybean futures were down double digits. Will they see follow-through this morning off of the opening bell? We'll discuss that and more in just a few minutes with Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. Packer bids today in the Midwest direct hog markets are expected to range from steady to $1 per hundredweight higher, on a continuation of good buying interest from last week. Terminals are called steady to higher, with tops from $46 to $50.50. Peoria called steady to firm today with a top price of $46. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Friday, July 20th, negotiated swine purchases were 15,348 for the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis. The base price range was $61.50 to $74. The weighted average $67.77, a gain of $1.61 from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.67 to $57.25, and the weighted average was $54.24. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,232. The base price range was $65 to $73.50. The weighted average, $68.66, a loss of 8 cents from last Thursday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $48.86 to $57, and the weighted average was $53.85. Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, in Iowa, there are showers on my screen, and the DTN says they're actually moving from east to west, or was it the other way around?
They are moving from central Iowa into western Iowa, dropping some locally heavy rainfall. And right now they are from just around Kansas City or north of Kansas City up into the southwestern corner of Iowa. And a few scattered showers still remaining across north-central Iowa as well. They do need some rain there. While the eastern half of the Corn Belt picked up nice precipitation last week, western and central Iowa missed out on most of that precipitation, so I'm sure it's welcome where it's falling. They wish they could spread it a little further to the north and west, but there's a stationary boundary that's going to keep that moisture bottled up. And it probably will not spread into the eastern portion of Nebraska, or if it does, it'll just cross the state line and just brush up into the far eastern counties of Nebraska. And again, the northwestern Corn Belt has been extremely dry. It doesn't look like we're looking at much in the way of weather this week. Temperatures will be not excessively warm. There will be some scattered showers around the area, but much of the precipitation relatively light. And that leaves the northwestern Corn Belt looking for greater rainfall. Across the Midwest, thunderstorms did produce the locally heavy rainfall from northeastern Minnesota and western Wisconsin all the way into eastern Iowa yesterday. And again, by early this morning, the storms had basically shrunk from central Missouri and through central Iowa, now in the western portion of that region. Highest temperatures over the weekend were upper 70s and 80s in the eastern Midwest, 80s and 90s in the western portion of the Corn Belt, and morning lows were generally in the 50s and 60s, although in the far northern portion of the Corn Belt, some morning lows were in the upper 40s. The forecast for today is cooler than that we talked about on Friday, while rainfall similar, just a tad bit wetter, with no significant changes in the forecast occurring in the last 24 hours. Over the next couple weeks, relatively normal weather pattern for the Midwest, some precipitation, temperatures not too far from normal. No dominating ridge of high pressure. That heat that's been plaguing the western states will stay generally locked up, although at times we will run into the mid to upper 80s in the eastern portion of the Corn Belt. generally dropping back down to near average temperatures at pretty quick intervals. The western and central Corn Belt will see the heat early this week and early next week before it retreats back to the west again for late in the week. Southeastern states and the Delta have been seeing some rain. In fact, showers and thunderstorms covered about 70% of the area yesterday, with anywhere from trace amounts up to 3/4 of an inch in the Delta, with the northern areas being the driest. Southeastern states receive 60% coverage, anywhere from 1/4 inch to up to 1 2/3 inches, and some areas lighter rain did fall across the Carolinas. Highest temperatures were in the 80s and 90s, some 90s in southern Alabama, but for this time of year, that's got to be considered very pleasant conditions. The southeast will see frequent showers during the next 2 weeks, while shower activity will begin in the Delta on Wednesday. All areas receiving rain at one time or another during the next couple weeks. Conditions favorable for crop development in most locations. Crop stress likely to continue in the driest areas of Alabama, North Carolina, Virginia, and in through the northern Delta. Outside our country, we'll look quickly at China, where no rain fell in the northern China Plain and far northeastern provinces during the weekend. Some areas becoming a little bit too dry where rain is needed, but showers and thunderstorms concentrated from the Sichuan into the Zhangzhou area through Wednesday. Precipitation expected to be heavy, yielding anywhere between 2 to 4 inches, and the heavy rain will expand ongoing flooding problems and likely create some new flooding concerns in the Sichuan and Hubei regions. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City September wheat opened at 603.5 unchanged. Last trade up 6.5. December 618.5 down 1/4. Last trade up 6. At the Board of Trade in Chicago, September wheat opening at 616.25 unchanged. Last trade up 4.5. December 629 down 4.5. Last trade up 3.5. March 632 down 1.5. Last trade up 6.5. September corn opened at 317, down 1.25. Last trade down 5.5. December 332, down 1.5. Last trade down 5. March 348, down 3/4. Last trade down 5.25. August beans opened at 843.75, down 6.5. Last trade down 10.75. November 866, down 9.25. Last trade down 9.75. January 879.5, down 12.5. Last trade down 11.75. August soybean meal opened at 225.20, unchanged. Last trade down 2.20. August soybean oil opened at 37.40, down 9. Last trade down 31. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Brian Mapleff of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
Going to see follow through on these losses in the soybeans overnight?
I would assume that we will. It appears right now that they want to at least go down and challenge the low that we put in last week, which was 855 on the November. I don't know that we'll get that all done today, but certainly we will go away on Friday thinking that we're going to have this hot, dry period again, and we come in this morning and there's another inch of rain that's fallen out in Des Moines, Iowa. So there's not as much concern about the crop as what it was when we walked away. It feels like to me these markets are turning over into a downtrend. We should see at least steady, if not a touch better, crop condition ratings tonight, which is somewhat against the norm. Typically conditions will slip a little bit as you move into this time period.
Over the week, do you think we might test 825 or 830 or even maybe the 66% retracement from the April lows to the contract highs coming in around 808?
Well, I would think that we'd at least go challenge the 825 if the weather continues on path of what I'm hearing. And I didn't hear you guys' weather, but our guys are talking about some rain chances for the eastern Corn Belt and the western Corn Belt as this low-pressure system has not moved the way they thought it would move over the weekend here. So it appears that there's going to be chances for rain, temps are not as hot as what they were talking, and I tend to think the funds have more that they want to liquidate. They still have huge long positions that if they decide to get out of the way, we can punch down to try and challenge that 825 mark fairly readily.
In the corn, looking at the December, we came within a cent and a half of the November lows from last year. Looks like we might be in for a test of that. And if you go below that, Brian, there's really not a lot of resistance down to $3, it appears to me.
I tend to think the nearby futures want to make a run at that 298, 299 support. So $3 is in the cards on the nearby. I would think that that's enough damage for right now to the marketplace. I actually, farmer-wise, for stuff that we have sold, I think you get down into that $3 September corn price and you start thinking about getting some call options scaled into at that point. Lock in some calls against the stuff that you have sold, and Septembers are not a bad value right now to try and utilize the September calls to try and back up your sales in case something happens. Keep in mind, a year ago we sold off like this and we got into September and the market just took off again.
And very quickly, we have a little time left. Look at the wheat, please.
You've got Australia, one of the groups over there, I think it was a private group, is lowering the crop size to 23.7, down from their previous estimate of 26. So there's still a little impetus to try and hold wheat up there. What I will say on wheat is that in past times, there's been twice we made it above $6 in history. We've not been able to maintain it on the continuation chart for more than 2 months, and we're in that second month right now. So I think these times are limited myself.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of F.C. Stone & Company in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILO Urbana, broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois.